I was on my way to Newport, Low Bolins, all the way until the time I got to Route 4. And we just didn't feel it strong enough. And the girls just wanted me to drop them off and leave them here. And I just followed them in. I wasn't going to do that, so I just followed them in. But we we're just looking for a good service. Luke chapter 2. I preached this at Lou Ray, Virginia, in a revival. And let's read the scriptures. Let's go to verse 7 first. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. It was Brother Collins preaching the other night, talking about that guy had wanted to see an angel. And we had a spell there for a while in Vanceburg. Everybody coming by was telling experiences where they'd seen angels. Then the sister there in our church, she had woke up a couple times and seen an angel walking in her bedroom. And one guy said he looked outside of his trailer window, and he's a preacher. Say, see a little man in a corduroy suit running around his house. He said he thought this was an angel. I don't know what the man had been eating the night before, but he said that little guy in a corduroy suit was running around his yard. He said, I just took it to be an angel. I don't know about that being an angel or not, but we had started having services in our home. We first went down to Kentucky, and Gerald Pearson come down and helped preach with us. And we had a man come up one night, and I told the story here. He had been walking on the street, and the cops wouldn't give him no place to stay, and he was trying to get out of town. And he walked up on our place where we was having service, and we invited him in and talked to him a little while. And finally, me and Gerald took him out and got him something to eat. He was kind of nicely dressed, and took him and got him a room, and talked to him a little while, talked to him about the Lord. I don't know if that's an angel or not, but that just kept coming to my mind that I may be entertaining an angel unaware. That's the only time I've ever seen one. But I got a spirit about me. I started praying. I was really wanting to see the Lord reveal some things to me and see an angel. And I'd had a couple dreams before and some things like that, but I never had. But here they are, said shown around about them. They were sore afraid. And I'd have probably been like that guy Brother Collins was talking about. I'd probably been real afraid. But the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Glory to God. And I begin to think about this. We're either going to be forgiven or we're going to forsake Him. And if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, so God sent us a Savior. I'm thankful tonight that I'm saved. D.L. Moody at a colored church went to a freedom rally. And they were just having a good old time. And he said they was going on about how they were so thankful to be free from the bondage of slavery. And he said the Lord started striking his heart. And he thought, I'm free from the bondage of sin. I've been set free. Glory to God. We don't really realize, Brother Pete, what we've got a hold of. I thank God for the good times when we get around and shout and glory and see God's power. You all may not have seen him because you were sitting back there, but I was on the base this morning. And when Brother Collins started shouting, it come down off the platform and started moving through the church. It started hitting over here, then it started hitting here, and Sister Shockley was back there, and I said, oh God, she needs a blessing. She needs a blessing. All of a sudden, that great comforter come down over top of her. I mean, other ones was getting blessed. Two or three at once were shouting the same time. That's a move of God. That's the Spirit of God. And only to feel that, you first got to be a child of God. You've got to be forgiven. I'm thankful I'm saved. We enjoy our salvation. The lady, see, they was kind of wanting me to kind of preach to people. I kind of was feeling this way. I preached one night more on the lines of the Holy Ghost in that revival. And they loved it. We had our Kentucky style, you know, which we just get in and have church. And we had a Holy Ghost meeting. But every night after that and before that, the Lord kept leading me back to people are wanting to more praise the Lord when their heart ain't even right. And, you know, they'll praise Him in church, but they'll forsake Him outside the church walls. They'll be ashamed of Him. And the Lord kept leading me back every night to preach to people that they need to have their heart right. And we had some praying in the altars. And I went away from there. I told Norm, I said, we'll probably never go back again. You know, the devil talks to you, tell you wasn't doing no good. But I got a letter here delivered to the church. And it was a week ago. I was sitting right over there and I was reading that letter over a week ago. And it was the pastor's wife said, Brother Mike, said the Lord's are moving in our church. And she said, what got it started was your revival. What was it? We got people in tune with the Savior. And they got forgiven of their sins. And now they can praise God. And now they can worship God. They were doing it in form and fashion before. But now they know the real genuine richness of being saved. And having a Savior. She was telling me different ones. They have two twins at that church. She was telling me that they were testifying that they got saved in that meeting. Another woman that was praying good. In fact, it was their mom. She got saved. And then later she got the Holy Ghost. And I mean, I'm just so thankful. Philippians chapter 2. And if I can turn over there real quick. Chapter 2 and verse 9. Philippians chapter 2. So thankful for the Savior. We get people. I've been getting a little bit more braver since I, and bolder should be the word I use, since I've been getting out there. We got people that will wear us out at the altar. I know God can help them. But God is not going to fill a dirty heart. You're going to have to empty yourself out. You've got to get forgiven of your sins. I tell them, you may have me fooled. You may have the pastor fooled. But God knows your heart. And God knows what lies in there. And I say, if you want to get anywhere with God, open that heart up. And get introduced to the Lord. And let Him clean up that black heart. Let Him give you a new heart. And then He'll fill you with the Holy Ghost. I'm preaching on being forgiven. Or forsaken the Lord. But in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, and give him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the God the Father. Thank God. It says that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. John 14:6 says, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. 1 Timothy 2:5. There's one God and one mediator between man and God. That's the Lord Jesus. I'm so thankful that I'm saved. I took a drive the other day. I was going over to Mom and Dad's to pick up some of my stuff I've got stored at their house. And I turned down and went down past on old Route 4 right off of Keister, driving down where my old roads was, where my old country playground was. And I was driving down through there where we used to ride our bikes and all my friends down there. And I took a right turn on Myers Road and was driving down through there real slow. And I was looking at all the old houses where my old friends used to live. And I passed up different ones. They've moved on. Looked at the old house at 8159. It's all different now. Those people that lived there with that bear, they moved to North Carolina. I don't know who lives there now. Went right next door to it and drove real slow where Wesley Pate was, where we used to play our basketball games. And my mind was going back. And you know what changed my life? The biggest thing was that night. Oh, in 1980. I was supposed to go to Rich Goldhouse and preach on January the 15th or March the 15th. But he called me up and wants me to come back in the summertime. He said he's got somebody coming by. But when Rich Goldhouse was a preaching, Brother Gary, at 18 years of age, I had been forsaken my Savior. He had been reaching for me for many years. But I didn't have no interest in him. But one night. I went to the altar and I met my Savior and I got forgiven of my sins. And as I drove down Myers Road just a few days ago, my mind was going back. I thought, God, that was a changing point in my life. And I'm so thankful that I began to follow after my Savior. We went on up the road. There's Jimmy Murphy's house. Glory to God. He would like to argue pepper salt. You never did want to play a basketball game when the guy wanted to argue. I said, Jimmy, we're running out of daylight time. Just take it. Take the 2 points. Let's go ahead and play a game. He loved to argue. Loved to argue. I remember his dad used to play country music with Dad. And they would come to the house. Old Kenny Murphy. Come to the house playing the guitar. Singing them country songs. They played cards on the weekends. They would go camping. They didn't know nothing about God. But I remember when Kenny and his wife got saved. Glory to God. Now he's a preacher of the gospel. What was it? They had tried everything else and they wasn't happy. But I watched them sitting in a hole. They had always been raised around church. And I watched the hole that didn't know nothing about God. When they got introduced to the Savior, he acted like he found a gold mine. He was the happiest man in the neighborhood. Why? Because his sins were forgiven. Really, he was more joyful than what I was. But I've watched some of the others around here. They've been forgiven of much. And they're so thankful. I'm thankful that I'm saved tonight. I'm thankful. I watched the Murphy family. How God began to deal with their life. And some of my friends were making remarks about them. Said, the Murphys don't do this now. The Murphys don't do that now. Oh, the Murphys are giving up their cigarettes now. You know, Brother Gary, they wasn't taught in the Pentecostal Holiness Church. But a Savior can speak whenever people are being led by the Bible and hearing the gospel preached. Remember that, Mark? I mean, you can go back to the day. Jimmy said, my mom and dad's gone crazy. No, they ain't gone crazy. They got forgiven of their sins and they really start just a living. We went on down the road as I was taking my little tour the other day. And I drove on up there and there sits the Middletons' home. Glory to God. Across the streets where Ken Maloney was raised. That farm looked a whole lot bigger than what it really is. And I seen that fence where me and Ken stood the night. He lifted his eyes up and said, you know, there's a God. And I thought that was a stupid question. I said, Ken, I know there's a God. I've been going to church for a few years now. He said, no, Mike. He said, I just mean tonight I realize there is a God. What was it? I didn't know, but just a few more hours he was going to go back in the bedroom and get introduced to a Savior. He didn't have nobody in church, at home taking him to church. But the Lord reached down and let him know that he needed a Savior. And I'm so thankful that my friend responded. It'd been about 5 or 6 years before that. The Maloneys liked to camp a lot. And they got a big old nice motor home. And Ken was talking how his dad was so upset because he paid more for that motorhome than what he bought that farm for years ago. And that motorhome had a big old tire cover on there, said the good life. And a lady knocked on the door one day, and Sister or Zola Maloney come to the door. She said, ma'am, when's your gospel group going to be singing again? She said, what are you talking about? I said, well, I seen your motorhome says the good life. Said, I just want to know when y'all's going to be singing again. Local said, we love gospel singing. She said, ma'am, we don't even go to church. But it is a good life, Mark. I mean, it is a good life. I'm thankful I'm saved. I'm thankful I met a Savior. I'm thankful I didn't forsake Him. Glory to God, there was backsliders here this morning. And I thought, oh God, every time you reach out to me, some things. As I was praying in that bedroom, that just this past July, it's been 14 years, but that still move of that Savior in my heart said, I've got something for you to do. And I just now see it this year in July begin to take place. And I'm still watching God answer prayer. But really, I'm so thankful that I bowed my knees and I made time and I sought God. I look back on so many things. I look back, they told me it'd be like this. But you look back and you see so many ways you could have went if you didn't have God in your life. And even when we don't realize He's guiding us, He is guiding us, Gary. He is directing our path. All the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. And I'm so thankful tonight, Hamburg. It may not do much to you all, but as my pastor was talking about the first time he preached, my mind was going back to the memories. Glory to God. If time lasts 2 more years, I'll be saved now. 20 years. Glory to God. More than half my life. I'm thankful that I'm saved tonight. I'm thankful I'm forgiven of my sins. There is nothing like it. No, everything's all right between you and God. And if you should die before morning, you got the hope and the assurance you're all right and you'll make it to the other side. I didn't even feel like preaching tonight. I begged Mark if he had anything to preach. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We was talking to somebody the other day, a business person. Oh, I shouldn't have said that, but I was just being mean. We was having a good time talking. And we was opening up another checking account, that's what we was doing. And she said, so you evangelize? I said, yes. It's new to us. And I said, we close your old account out because everywhere we go, I said, I didn't really want to use the machines, and I was hoping there'd be some place I could find it's got a lot of branches across the country. Well, anyway, she talked to us more and more, said, just by the way, what are you? I said, we're Muslim. I said, no, we're not Muslim. I said, we're Pentecostals. I said, Pentecostal independent. And she began to tell us how she went to a Pentecostal church and how they really liked to worship and how she kind of liked that kind of service. But brothers and sisters, I'm thankful that I'm saved. I'm thankful that I can be a witness. I'm not ashamed. I go out with some people and I watch them. They're ashamed to bow their head in public. Brother Rotten broke me of that one time. We was out in Martin. Remember that? You might have been there. You may not have. I don't know. But he was praying for Dad to get saved. And that loud voice of his, he grabbed my hand. And the first few seconds, I was embarrassed. And I finally just shut my eyes to type. I thought, I don't care. They're looking anyway. They were probably looking when me and Brother Rout and Mark come walking in. Anyway, but there we was right in that old store. And he's praying, God save these boys, Dad. But I'm thankful that there's preachers and there's men of God. Hey, brothers and sisters, it ain't nothing big. But Brother Johnson, you'd have a lawsuit if a doctor said, son, everything's all right. Won't you take you about 100-mile trip or 200 miles? You would say, that man ain't doing nothing but lying. But then why do we get mad at preachers when they tell our children that if you keep going the way you're going, forsaking God's love, forsaking His mercy, you're going to die and you're going to split hell wide open? Why do we get mad when we tell people the truth that you quit forsaking God and begin to start forgiving? Find forgiveness, quit forsaking, and find forgiveness. Sister Collins asked me why I didn't come in there this morning. I was calling a boy that's been playing games with God so many times. That was my friend. And why in the world? And I love him, and he's still my friend. But what is it going to take for people to strike the rock, Brother Jimmy, and realize no matter how we live for God, we're going to have troubles, and we're going to have trials, and we're going to have hindrances. But we need to have everything, our heart fixed, our soul right with God. I called him. I said, I heard you've been on vacation all last week. He said, yep. I said, well, God's been answering prayer for you. He said, sure has. I said, you going to be here tonight? He said, yeah, I am. Well, I'm not telling to pick on him, but it hurts my heart. And we need to be praying for people. We've got too many people. The time is too short to be forsaken God. We need a Savior. If you don't know Him, if you've been forsaken Him, we need to get back on speaking terms with our Savior. We need to know everything's all right. Dad said, Mike, you've lost your mind. He told Jean one time, my mom, he said, all he wants to do is listen to tapes and read the Bible. That's right, because I would hung with the crowd so much. The hardest thing, I never did walk alone. The hardest thing was ever for me to do was leave my friends. But once I finally did, and God seen I meant business with Him, brothers and sisters, we got to go if nobody else goes. Either you got a made up mind or you don't. And I've got my mind made up. And I'm not preaching hard. I love everybody, and I know you all love me, and I know we're one church family. But brothers and sisters, we need our Savior. We need to be witnesses to people. Oh, that man that somebody brought this morning back there, I don't know about him, but I thought, oh God, I didn't go off the base and I didn't stand up. My heart was broken. I got over there praying. I said, God, let him see his need to be forgiven of his sins. Let him be so heavy that he feels like he can't walk another step. That's what you got to do. You got to realize we've got hope that you'll never find outside these church walls. What is it? It's in a loving Savior who died for us that we might have eternal life. Glory to God. I need him. I called Todd Smith. He's a friend of mine. And I gave him this message. I said, I was wanting to talk to him in person, just kind of homesick. I said, this is the neediest preacher of all. So I just wanted to hear a voice from home. He got a kick out of it, and we was talking about it last night. But I am needy. I'm poor, and I'm needy. And I can't make it without a Savior. And I've got to have him, and I'm not going to forsake him. There's things I see in my life. I got in a habit while I was gone. Everything I was seeing, I was making a little remark every time I'd hurt my foot. It wasn't nothing bad. You all wouldn't think nothing about it. I told Norm, I said, I'm going to ask God to help shut my mouth. It wasn't nothing bad. But I said, I just want to watch every word I say. I want to be a witness wherever I go. There ain't nothing like it. I wasn't even well. I was dressed nice, but I wouldn't have no tie on. But two people last week said, you're a preacher off the street. And I said, yes, I am. I hope they can see that, Brother Gary. I hope they can see I'm a Christian. I don't care about it. There's been enough preachers that went by the wayside and led people astray. I'm thankful God called me, but let me just say, I just want to be Christ-like. I want to be an ambassador for Christ in this world. This world's not my home. I'm just a passing through. Glory to God. I'm from another country, and I ain't home yet, but I am an ambassador down here, and I'm representing the heaven, and I'm representing the Savior. Glory to God. This world is Jesus Christ. I want to tell people that I found what I was looking for when I was 18, and even though a lot of people may get sour on my testimony, I love to tell it to people who's never heard it. I was at OBI one time, and a boy that's backslid now. We was having a good service in the dorm. People had been shouting. I stood up, and I was going to testify. And I felt pretty good, Brother Gary. But after the meeting, he grabbed me out in the hallway. He said, Brother Mike, I love you. But he said, we've heard enough of your testimony. I said, okay. All right. Well, you all probably have too, but it's still fresh to me. When I drive down the road and I get memories brought back to me, you know, that there's people that it thrills them to death when I tell the story how my brother-in-law got healed because the loving Savior paid the price for his healing, reached down and healed him on that Christmas Eve night in my mother-in-law's house 3 years ago. They love that story. Why? Because I tell them, I always thought I had to be in church to see healing take place. I always thought I had to be in church to see somebody get saved. But brothers and sisters, you can call on God wherever you're at, and He's able to hear you. And when you call out for forgiveness or healing, or for deliverance, He's able to reach down. His arm's not short, and He's able to do a work. We've got 5 minutes to pray, and I hope that you're thankful that you're saved tonight. There's no need to play games with God. You want something from God?